Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 20th, 205th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Still.
For the time being.
Comma, Still Mark Lovelace. Yeah.
Future has been. That's my title right now.
You having cards made up?
Yeah. I should get some.
Cards
are so last century, though, you know? And if people still hand out, yeah, I guess they
do.
Yeah,
you know what's really hacking me off is that Topps and a couple of the other baseball card guys are moving towards virtual baseball cards.
Virtual baseball cards?
So they can be updated at any time.
Huh.
So like, wait a minute. If it can't be slid inside the binder, if you can't put your...
Yeah. And how do you collect those?
You probably just spend money.
This is so wrong.
I know.
This is so wrong.
Yeah, I'll keep collecting in the 30s and the 40s. Like
We should be talking to our congressmen about this.
No, I'm trying to get them to reply about last chance grades still. Our quote this morning comes from the Bible. God hath made of one blood all nations of men. Where that was believed, huh?
Good reminder.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suppose, particularly as we move into the political season.
What, there's ever a non-political season?
You know, and that's one of the things that I kind of fatigue with. Yeah, I'm as much of a junkie as you are. You know, mm-hmm. We probably subscribe to different sources, but, you know, we're there because it's kind of like the reflection of what's going on in our communities. Define community out to whatever you want. It just, there never seems to be breathing time, civility,
mm-hmm.
Respite, whatever you want to call off season, line, take your pick. I mean, if it's not this, it's that, and there's always somebody grinding on somebody and, you know, questioning your family heritage and your tree and every word that's said. And how do you avoid, as an elected almost still on your way out, getting wrapped up in all that garbage?
Well, for me, you know, for one thing, because I'm in local government, county politics, there's a lot of stuff at the national and international level that is, you know, just not, while of course it has some effect on us, there isn't really a direct line to what we do here locally. And so I tend to focus my time on the things I can actually have an impact on, and a lot of other stuff that's going on, you know, politically is just not on my plate.
Okay, but, you know, so. I run into you in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, what do you think about the Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg lipping off about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you're in a position where either you have to have an opinion, or you're going to really look goofy,
yeah.
Or you go, how's the cantaloupe? And somebody mm-hmm. thinks, you know, you're back down to double digits or something. I mean, you just because of the title, you get sucked into some of this stuff.
And there's an expectation that because I'm involved in local politics, I'm therefore knowledgeable on everything at every level. And
you're
I tell
the minor
folks
leagues
a lot of times,
the majors,
you know,
and you're just a feeder.
In some ways, it's like I'm so focused on this that chances are you know more about what's going on in some of these other things than I do because that's where you're focused. Yeah. So
does that buy you any time to get around the corner?
Sometimes. Or, oh, look over there.
Yeah, it's squirrel.
It's Elvis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no kidding. It's amazing sometimes just what people's expectations are and anticipations and disappointments if you're not
mm-hmm.
you know, across the board.
Yeah. You know, it used to be you could just, you know, look at your wrist and say, oh, gee, I got to go. But now, you know, no one wears a watch anymore because it's on your phone. And it's like, so, yeah, you don't have that excuse.
I like squirrel. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Lovelace. Mark, every once in a while there's an opportunity, I think, for county government to have significant positive impact on business. You know, most times I'm sure what people want you to do is get out of the way, make it simple for me to do what I need to do. I'm not looking for assistance, but I certainly don't need another weight to carry around with me. You guys yesterday got to deal with a little bit of that with the coastal dependent and the changing of the definition to allow maybe non-coastal dependent businesses to develop in property that's available. You know, around Humble Bay, there, you know, no surprises, a lot of blank property that's just sitting there, and it's, you know, it would be prime time for a lot of businesses, but the Coastal Commission, or the Coastal Act, I guess, to be more accurate, has certain prerequisites that need to be in existence. Maybe it's cool, maybe it's not, but it seems like you guys are looking at ways to apply state to a local with a reality check. Do you get that opportunity often?
We do. There's times where, you know, there's processes, there's things that we're involved in that, you know, sometimes we forget to use our powers for good instead of evil, I guess. So,
well, that explains the Darth Vader headgear you're wearing now. Yeah.
No. It's Kylo Ren, dang it.
Oh. Right. Sorry. Traditionalist. What a stunner, huh?
There you go.
I'm a traditionalist, yeah.
Yeah, get with the times, dude. So, but... you know, in this case, you know, the Coastal Act exists for, you know, really, really good reasons. And there's people that perceive it generally as being anti-development. It's not anti-development. It's preserving the coastal air, the coastal lands, for the kind of development that can only happen there. It's recognizing that, you know, if, you know, the entire state depends upon, you know, what happens in the coastal zone. You know, that's important to the entire state. It's important to the entire nation. Because if, you know, people that happen to own coastal property all decided, you know, we're just going to fence it off and use it for our residences, and there's not going to be any, you know, industrial development or no access to it or whatever, you could choke a nation. You could prevent anyone from being able to enjoy the coastline. You could do all of these things. And so it preserves the coastal zone for those uses that can only happen there. And so it's actually, it's pro-coastal development. And for that reason... the Humboldt Bay Area Plan has, for a few decades now, preserved an overabundance of land for coastal-dependent industrial uses, the kinds of industrial uses that can only happen in the coastal zone that are directly related to shipping, shipbuilding.
Like if the east-west thing comes to pass, you need ships at the end.
Yeah.
That would be a good example of how that could apply.
Yeah. Or, you know, or like I said, boat building or timber loading. You know, obviously the pulp mills, you know, and the sending a lot of wood pulp other places. You know, there's been a lot of that. In the past, Humboldt Bay hasn't been, you know, it's never been a freight port. It's been a timber port, shipping logs. And so... there used to be a lot more of that in the past, obviously, and the nature of the industry was much less automated, size of ships was much different then, and so it took a lot of area to be able to handle the volume of logs that was happening then. We no longer have the volume of logs, it no longer takes near, even if we did, we you know, wouldn't need the same amount of land for doing that or whatever. So there's good reasons that this land has been set aside for that. And there's good reasons that we need to continue to make sure that over the long term, it's preserved for that. But we also recognize that in the interim, this stuff isn't going to be happening for a long time. If there was to be an east-west railroad, you know, under best case scenario, we'd be looking at probably 50 years or more before the first train would run, if it ever happened. And so we know that there's a long, long interim period before we would ever need any of that coastal development to serve this potential railroad. So in that interim time, let's make use of that land as we can while preserving that. So this whole this whole change to the definition of coastal dependent industrial, it's not a zoning change. It's changing the allowable uses within that zone. But just to say that...
So the examples are being changed?
It's,
it could be used for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the 5 is now becoming 1 through 30 or 40
yeah.
or whatever.
So it's not removing any of the existing uses. Anything that is allowed under coastal dependent industrial is continued to be allowed. It adds to that the ability to do things that are industrial uses, commercial uses, the same kinds of things, but not necessarily coastal dependent.
So it is kind of loosening up the definition.
Yeah. So like right now,
a restaurant, for example, doesn't have to be on the water.
A restaurant it's can nice be considered visitor be. Serving, so right. it can be.
But you know. Can put a restaurant anywhere.
Yeah. But
this makes it easier for a restaurant to be there.
Yeah. The city of Eureka has been going through a very similar process with Old Town of trying to loosen up because it's all in the coastal zone. And it's definitely a visitor serving area. But there's a lot of uses there that because it's supposed to be visitor serving, the coastal zone prohibits them or has prohibited them from being able to do uses that aren't visitor serving, like professional offices. You know, visitors don't come to a coastal town to go to an attorney or to go to a tax preparer or to do these kinds of things.
Or the Coastal Commission office.
Or shoes. Yeah, yeah. The whole thing is a shoe store, visitor serving. You know, people can buy shoes anywhere.
Is if you need
and,
it.
yeah. And so they've been really trying, and they've had an overabundance of these kinds of spaces. And so they've been trying to open that up. Very, very same thing, very similar thing to what we're doing with the Coastal Dependent Industrial.
That's countywide or just around the bay?
This is for the unincorporated areas around Humboldt Bay, the county lands immediately around Humboldt Bay.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mark Lovelace. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redick. Mark, before the break, we talked a little bit about the, I guess, loosening or expansion mm-hmm. of definition.
Yeah.
Okay, of the coastal plan around Humboldt Bay. Does that apply or could that apply to all of the unincorporated areas on the coast, obviously, of the county also? Could there be a similar one?
Well, this is for coastal dependent industrial lands in the Humboldt Bay Area local coastal plan.
And so it's pretty specific in the application
yeah.
area.
Okay. So that could conceivably be expanded to other areas, but you know, in Humboldt County, this is the only place that we really have coastal dependent industrial.
The question,
we have a lot of beaches, a lot of beautiful coastline, but not a lot of it is really appropriate for this kind of industrial.
Right, the
use.
Industrial.
Yeah.
My question, and I guess this is maybe foreshadowing something that we'll be doing here. I don't know. Freshwater spit.
Mm-hmm.
You were here. You remember the golden days, right? Three wide, the whole length. Folks would be there. I estimated a couple weeks ago, somewhere in the neighborhood, about 50,000 room nights or overnights mm-hmm. were there. BLM has now taken it over, and you probably maybe 300 mm-hmm. a year now room nights.
Mm-hmm. That's National Park Service.
Oh, is it part yeah. of the National Park now?
Yeah.
It's not
my understanding of it. Okay. The sign is before you get to it. So.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to the sign. I just kind of pull up and look at it, have a sandwich, and go on. You know. To bring that back, I'm kind of been focusing on what are the low-hanging fruits, so to speak, mm-hmm. for economic development in our area that mm-hmm. don't require a lot of this or a lot of that or a lot of mm-hmm. money or studies or staff and all that kind of stuff. Oryx certainly was impacted when that disappeared. You know, mm-hmm. it didn't all turn into the little campground by the little red schoolhouse like people were talking about. To unwind that, to allow that to come back, you know, the interest is there. Certainly the economics of it, you can see the absence of what that has done. Would the county have to do something similar to what you're talking about around the bay to allow people to be there? Or is this, because it's federal?
It's federal land. It's we all have federal, nothing to do with it.
Yeah. No touchy.
Yeah, we don't have any role in federal land designations of how, you know, how they, what uses they allow on it. I can say that, so that's a little off topic here, but just on that point, there has been a move to, you know, that was part of a move to try to focus more of the visitor serving uses into the town of Oryx. So originally there was kind of an approach that this is going to help do it. And instead that kind of evaporated because that didn't happen. There have been a number of efforts, and there's currently one at the old Green Diamond Mill site, or Simpson Mill site, Bald Hills Road, to create a large visitor serving kind of location. And so there is still a lot of interest and effort to try to help the town of Oryx gain some benefit. You know, it's really bizarre. You go to any other national park, and the last community, you know, on the outskirts of that park usually, you know, experiences, you know, a lot of economic benefit. It just doesn't seem to happen for poor Oryx.
My sense, and I've been going back and forth now 11, 12 years, something like that, weekly. Nobody thinks about Redwood National Park as more than a drive-through, because there aren't the lodges. Mm-hmm. There is, even when the fish hatchery was there, mm-hmm. you know, that was something you could do as a family for 3 or 4 hours. Okay, and then you go through the park. Okay, now maybe you're there and you're looking for somewhere to go rather than drive the old highway. Mm-hmm. If you remember, it's there. You've already seen the elk outside probably 3 or 4 different times. So what's unique? More redwood trees. Okay, got it.
Well, I can think of at least four or five different proposals that have in the 8 years that I've been on the board of folks trying to develop something, you know, private developers or working with nonprofits like Save the Redwoods League, working with the Park Service and stuff. Everyone is, you know, my experience is everyone is unified around that goal.
Why not then? Why hasn't it?
I think it's just been a matter of, you know, the economics of it and the investment of it. It's such a leap of faith because, you know, it would be an ideal place for like redevelopment. If we had redevelopment where basically in that case, what you're saying is we know that if we do this, it's going to bring up property values. It's going to improve, you know, the area. People will be able to, you know, make improvements to their homes and stuff.
Economic spike there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so redevelopment would say, you know, we'll front load that. We'll based upon what we expect the tax revenues to be in the future, we'll do the investments that would help make that happen. And it, you know, was an effective mechanism, but we no longer have that, and we can't apply that to Oryx at this point.
Well, and you still got the water situation and sewer and all that.
So it has issues.
It seems such a shame.
Yeah.
And if, okay, Papstein's world, you got enough bucks for some kind of economic development to really do something for a community that's been hammered.
Yeah.
Oryx would be the one. And why can't we put the best and brightest in Humboldt County and come up with something that would not only stimulate the community, but also give visitors an opportunity to spend 2 or 3 days? Can't, you know, the Yosemite experience.
Yeah.
It should be something similar or comparable here, but we don't have Crater Lake. Even gets, you know, 2 or 3 nights stays with folks staying in the surrounding areas. And Lassen does the same. You know, all these other national parks do. And I guess you could argue that Crescent City was, or Klamath was, but not to what we're talking about. Really some kind of an anchor there to help make things happen.
Yeah. And I think there are opportunities there. But, you know, similar to what we're talking about with the coastal zone, you know, that there's ways that you can try to use the unique location as a benefit and not say, oh, we can't do these things because it's coastal, you know, that we want to preserve that, or we can't do these things because it's, you know, neighboring a park, to be able to say, what are the advantages? What are the things that we can really do here to work with that?
Is there a willingness, do you think? Because these are the same guys that ran Rolf out.
Yeah, there's definitely a willingness. Like I said, okay. What I've seen is, you know, that everyone's unified around it. It's just a matter of ultimately it's the kind of thing that would require private, you know, it would have to be a private effort. And, you know, people are risk averse. And when they look at Oreck the way it is right
now. Particularly today, when you look at Humboldt County and Oreck in general,
But so,
I was just going to take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break. Right. It's okay with me.
Thank you very much.
I'll give you that permission.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Mr. Lovelace. Mm.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Lovelace. Mark, how do you replace a coastal commissioner? Are they elected? Are they appointed, anointed? As our representative won't be there at the end of the year, as she got turned out in Del Norte County. What's the process?
Well, as noted, Supervisor Martha McClure from Del Norte has been our appointee on the Coastal Commission since 2011, technically, I guess. And she lost her reelection. And so when her term is up, she has 60 days after she's no longer an elected official to serve before the governor has to replace her. And for our district up here, our region, it is Mendocino, Humboldt, and Del Norte County is the North Coast seat, and it is a governor's appointment of a local elected official from a city council or a board of supervisors. So
it really is kind of narrow.
Yeah, it's not community service districts or these other things or school boards or any other harbor district. It has to be a city council member or a county supervisor. And just in terms of how tight that is, last go around, Mayor Frank Yeager wanted to put his name in, but because the mayor in Eureka is separately elected, does not qualify as an actual council member. And so he was not able, not qualify because he's not a council member, he's the mayor.
Now, Humboldt has had folks in the past.
Yeah.
Del Norte obviously has, Mendocino has. Is it Mendocino County's turn?
I don't think that's really the way
or is
that.
Is there a turn?
I wouldn't expect that to be really, you know, a matter of, you know, which county's turn it is, unless there was, you know, a real wealth of good nominations, you know, nominees putting their names forward. And at this point, while everyone's aware that that seat will be coming vacant, there isn't a vacancy until the governor calls for nominations. And so that's when the clock will start ticking.
That's the cattle call,
and
so
it's
to speak.
It's believed that the governor is going to wait until close to the end of the year, so that to allow folks who are coming into office, whether city council members or, you know, supervisors. Of course, we still have a couple of runoff elections, I believe, to happen for boards of supervisors in Del Norte, so we'll have to, you know, see who the field is at that point.
I would think that would be something you wouldn't want to consider if you're a newbie. You got so much other stuff getting thrown on your
plate. It is a huge commitment.
Yeah. And for the county or the city that you're representing also, it takes you out of the mix for a while.
As you know, Bonnie Neely had been our commissioner for the North Coast region for quite some time. And she showed me at one point you know, when they get their packet, it's delivered in a box, like a banker's box of documents. And because it's quasi-judicial, that's what you go to. You don't get on the phone and talk to people and ask people, what do you think about this? You've got to read the material.
Oh, somebody's going to have quite some fun. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks for having me.
See you tomorrow morning.